We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Well, it's, you know, this is a part of a baseball season. Injuries are going to happen, and you got to rebound from them. You got to recover from them. The next guy's got to fill in, and then everybody else has kind of got to pick up around him. That's how you're going to have things like this happen during the season. You know, first day of the season, it's, you know, probably stings a little worse. But this is going to be part of our season, and it's testing us immediately.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine for another hour. First hour flew by, and we talked about the Justin Steele injury, how it will challenge the Cubs' pitching depth. That was Craig Counsell after the season opener Thursday night down in Texas. And Bruce, I think that the Steele thing will take care of itself. We've addressed some of those implications. I wanted to get your perception and an opinion on some of the moves that Craig Counsell made in day one of the Craig Counsell experience, a new era of Cub baseball, if you will. And let's start with the lineup. I was surprised, I wonder if you were, that Christopher Morel, after having so much attention paid him playing third base, was the DH, and Nick Madrigal was the third baseman. I understand because Justin Steele was on the mound, and certainly the ground ball pitcher gets ground balls, and you want your best defensive lineup out there. But what was your reaction to that?
My reaction was, well, isn't Kyle Hendricks going to get ground balls too?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was a metrics-related response. And I'm not saying that's bad, okay? I think if you're looking on the positive side of that decision, the positive side is, hey, I'm the manager of the Cubs. I'm brought here to win every game. And this is the best possible route winning game one, having a better defender at third base. We're going to get a lot of ground balls. Okay, we're on the road against the world champions and a home opener. I don't need anybody with jitters at third base throwing a ball down the right field line. Okay, that's one. That's one perspective. The other perspective is we know that the Cubs have not done a good job of finding a position for Christopher Morel, whether it's deep down they believe he doesn't have a position other than DH, or the reality is we heard the rhetoric for a couple years. Yeah, he's going to be your next Ben Zobrist. He can play a whole bunch of different positions, and he's very athletic. Forget about that athletic stuff when it comes to baseball players. You can either play a position or you can't. Mm-hmm. Okay, David? Mm-hmm. Being athletic is great. He is athletic. He runs fast. He has a great arm. Those things have not been contained or commanded at this point.
Is athletic just another word for adaptable? Because you can play different positions, and it requires different skills, and you can be adaptable, so you can put him at third base or center field and have the same expectation. But I don't know if you can find many average players athletically, average athletes who play a good third base.
So far, Christopher Morel in his career was below average in center, below average at third, okay? Didn't pass the sniff test at first base when they tried to teach him that in winter ball.
They don't need that anyway.
You know, apparently not, but we all like the idea. And Ron Coomer and I, Ron does such a great job on color commentary and Cub baseball, and I have talked the last year and a half about, gee, give Morel just one position, you know. Simply, you know, what's the worst fielding position in baseball where they put the worst defender? It's usually left field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in an ideal situation where you didn't have a gold glover Ian Happ playing right field, you'd say, let's just put him there, okay? He's not going to hurt us that often.
You need his bat, though.
He can run. Yeah. He'll catch some balls. He'll get better. In an infield position, man, that doesn't work very much.
And you saw the value of having a plus defender at third base with Miles Mastroboni making a key play at the plate and doing the right thing. And, boy, I don't know if Christopher Morel makes that play. I don't know if he's able to think that fast. Make that, right.
Brooks Robinson to have a hard time with
that play. It underscored the value of defense at a key position. So I think that was interesting.
And that's – we're getting back to the topic. Our topic is what do I think of Council? I love the idea that he's concentrating that first game about what is our best lineup, our best chance to win this game, okay? You have to like it, okay? Now, as far as saying the message that goes to Morrell is, oh, they're saying I'm not good enough to start opening day at third base. That's not a great message.
Well, it didn't bother his confidence when he was hitting that near grand slam that would have won the game. My God, a feet away from a victory. Yeah. I mean, that's why he's in the lineup. I mean, what was he, 2-for-5? So this is a good – his confidence was unaffected. Now, the first time he goes out there and plays third base, it's a point well taken. You wonder what he's going to think when he's out there and having to make a key play. Does that get into his head? And have you given him reasons to doubt his own defensive ability?
Yeah, and again, the rhetoric we heard all spring was he's going to get a chance to play third base every day.
That was the rhetoric. That's why we're asking the question. Right. And it is, yes, 6-3-0, text in. It's one game, David. Okay, you're new here. Of course it's only one game. But number one, there was an off day on Friday. Number two, this is what we do in Chicago. It's a lineup. It's opening day. It's a new manager. You're paying him more than everyone else. He's not beyond scrutiny.
The point is, he's a really important player on the Chicago Cubs. You want him to feel like he's going to be a contributor at a position and at bat. The kid, you know, I don't think errors are going to bother him when it comes to hitting, like you pointed out, where he had two hits and then he missed a grand slam by about 5 feet. The guy, you know, I picked him to be their most important offensive player this year. You could easily pick Suzuki or Bellinger. I go with him. I think he's that electric. But again, finding a position for him is really important from a team perspective, not only him.
Second question. When Steele left the game to bring in Merriweather, he gets out and they end up going into the sixth inning, and in comes Yency Almonte to make his Cub debut. Didn't go so well. And I don't know if that was – these roles are going to be defined, and guys are going to emerge, and there might be a guy who had a good year last year, has a bad year this year. The bullpen is so unpredictable, and variance affects that part of the game as much as any. What did you think when Almonte took the mound – instead of, say, Mark Leiter Jr.?
I figure that this is a plan that Council had in a close game. Nobody, I don't believe, I can't give you the number on it, but nobody has managed closer, more important games over the past 7 years than Craig Council. His team was known, you know, it was like, I remember in September walking into one of his sessions before a game, and he said, someone asked him about the series between the Cubs. He said, well, all our games are going to be one-run games, and we hope we win 2 out of 3 of those. You know, he knows how to manage a close game better than anybody. He's got new personnel. He's got to find out what he can get from his personnel.
Fair enough. Yeah. Question number three. So we're in the 10th inning. David Robertson, old friend, on the mound. He's played both the Cubs and the Sox, and he's still pitching.
And everywhere else.
He's still pitching.
And everywhere else.
Yeah, and everywhere else. But you know what? He picked the right team because this is a good fit for him, it appears. So you've got David Robertson on the mound pitching from the right side. You've got Mike Tauchman on the bench who hits from the left side. In comes Garrett Cooper, who is a right-handed hitter. Why not Tauchman in that situation if you're Craig Council?
It's a great question. I'll probably ask him about it. The most important thing to know is how has Cooper done against him in the past, okay?
That's the question, right? Yeah, right. They must know something there.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing about and David Ross was good at this, too, in getting better at dealing with metrics. Having metrics as a part of your decision-making is essential. It always has been. They're expanded metrics now, way beyond anything they used to do. But going back to 1980 and 81, 79 with Earl Weaver and Tony La Russa, they were the first guys to use expanded metrics by having little 3x5 cards of breakdowns as to what that pitcher had done against that hitter, what that hitter has done against the pitcher for the first time in baseball history. rather than just going lefty, righty, righty, lefty, all that matchup stuff. So he is dealing with these expanded metrics, and it's important that he does. In council, you have a guy that will have his own metrics. He's not waiting for the metrics department to come in with a sheet. He's going to have his own breakdowns. He's a really smart guy. So is David Ross. This guy's a little more advanced in that area. So he will have answers for your questions every time you ask them.
I am still going to have a question, I guess, until there's a larger sample size. And this might be just me. I understand the reasoning in going to Ian Happ at the leadoff spot because 99 walks last year, and this isn't old. Yeah. This isn't the past, and he had 153 strikeouts, but big deal. I know that's the way it's looked at, but is this something you think will be like last year? Happ stayed in the third spot, even though at times it might have made sense to move it. Do you think that Happ is going to be the leadoff hitter?
As soon as they face a lefty, you know, it could be Horner leading off.
Okay.
That's what he's plan is. His plan is not to have a plan except to try to win that day. Okay, so I don't think any of these things are locked in stone. He just knows that Happ from the left side is a more dynamic player than Happ is from the right side, and that he sees the ball better. He gets a lot of walks from the left side. He hits for better power. He can put a point on the board. So opening day lineup for him was, I got my best chances of scoring some runs at the top of the lineup and having an extra at bat for these three guys.
So the Cubs go back in action today against the Rangers. Kyle Hendricks against Cody Bradford, pregame right here on the Score, 5:30. What's reasonable in terms of expectations for Kyle Hendricks, Bruce? Obviously a guy that you know very well, and I just wonder what are the expectations? Five innings?
Yeah.
I think five innings today.
And again, people say, "Oh, he's got to be better than that." You have eight bullpen guys, okay? You have to expect, a manager has to expect to use three bullpen guys every day, okay? That's just the nature of the game. If he can give you six once in a while, that would be fantastic. I think he's capable of it. But don't ask a guy who's going to be 36 in, or is he going to be, yeah, he's going to be 35 in August. Don't ask him to give you anything more than what he's really got left. I think five is good. You know, I think it's good for a number four starter. He happens to be a number two or three starter in the Cubs right now. Tyone isn't available right now. You know,
when is he coming back?
Don't know yet. I don't think we know. I think he's supposed to be thrown off the mound and throwing some side sessions. I would say the end of April, 1st of May, probably be, you know, the realistic way with no setbacks.
Shota Imanaga is scheduled to start Monday's home opener, weather permitting. I guess you look at the forecast and you start to wonder. Oh, by the way, this Monday, join the Score and bet MGM at Sluggers in Wrigleyville before the home opener. Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi will be broadcasting live from 10 to 12:45, followed by Zach Zaidman, our guy, in his pregame show until the first pitch. Shota on Monday, big stage, home opener, a lot of pomp, a lot of circumstance. Is that the best position to put him in his first start? Do you think that is going to be something that, you know, we talk so much about he needs an extra day in the adjustment phase. Is that somebody who's known as a guy that rises to the occasion?
He's a professional. He's pitched in front of big crowds before many times in his career. He's not a rookie. I think he'll be nervous like anyone would be in a new circumstance. But I think, again, 5 to 6 innings, you know, two runs or less would be perfect, you know. I think if you have a pitcher now who's your, what would you call him, third or fourth starter?
Well, depending on who's healthy. Right now, Shota Imanaga, man, might end up being your ace.
But we'll find out what his stuff says, how it plays.
Well, his stuff played during spring training. He missed a lot of bats. I mean, he had a lot of strikeouts. I don't know.
He did. He's a fly ball pitcher.
Yeah.
I would say April and May is a good time to be pitching at Wrigley Field.
Struck more batters out than Yamamoto did in the MPB, actually.
He had more strikeouts than Yamamoto?
Mm-hmm. Well,
Yamamoto looks pretty. How would you like to be the Dodgers with that investment right now?
I would still say he's going to be a very good pitcher.
Okay. I'm not overreacting to one game. It's not football, right, Bruce?
It sounded like it a little.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little.
That Ohtani
guy's
pretty good.
You are a football guy.
I'm a football guy. Don't pigeonhole me.
I mean, you're a baseball guy,
I'm a hockey guy.
I would say you're
a man for all seasons, Bruce.
Man for all seasons.
I try. I'm trying.
I think you do a really great job.
I'm looking forward to Monday at Wrigley Field just because it's the opener. It's Clark and Addison. It's all the things that, you know, we are romantic about baseball. And
so is bad weather. Bad
exactly.
weather is a part of opening
day. It was nice on Thursday at Guaranteed Rate Field, though. Bruce, and before we get to a break, I want to address this because I wonder what you think. You know, Sox fans turned out on Thursday. 33,000 was the announced crowd. I was impressed. I was surprised. I think Monday at Wrigley Field, you expect what you typically get, even though it will be crummy weather. I expect that there will be big crowd, you know, 35 plus.
Well, I think you should see bigger crowds at Wrigley Field this year. And I mean, they've had good crowds. You know, I think they averaged something like 33,000. But I think they're on the road back to, you know, if they play up to expectations here, they're on the road back to, you know, sellouts, you know, close to sellouts. Most of the time.
What's realistic in terms of an attendance goal for each team, the Sox and the Cubs?
This year?
Yes. What do you think is realistic?
I don't know on the White Sox. I don't even have a guess, you know. You know, tell me how they're going to play and I'll give you an idea.
They're going to play clean baseball. They're going to try hard every night.
Okay, so.
They're going to talk 15, about that.
15 to 20,000
probably
a night?
So.
Okay. I think the realistic for the Cubs is 35,000. A night average. If they play well from the beginning all the way to the end, I think it could be a little higher.
I think Sox at 1.75 million, they'd probably take that. 1.75 million people. That would be, they're putting a product out there that is reasonably watchable, and they're not going to lose 100
They don't
games.
Pay rent till 1.6.
Well, that's... They may not pay rent this year because I may be optimistic in that projection. The Cubs... I think they're going to be in it. They're going to be good enough, and they're going to be relevant. Craig Counsell is going to – I think you don't go to – do you go to a game to watch a manager manage sometimes?
You know what has to happen on the Cubs side? Bellinger has to continue to show that he's a superstar, you know, back at that level. And a couple of these other guys like Morel have to stand up. They need more – a little bit more star power. They have good players.
They do.
But they need more star power.
I think they do need another star in that lineup, someone who gives you a reason to be curious or excited. I think Wrigley Field and the Cubs are a draw on their own, but you're right. I think there's just that element
missing.
Is it
Suzuki, Morel?
I don't know. I don't know. Look, I do respect to say a Suzuki. I think we get a little bit carried away in this town talking about how great he can be. How great can he be, really? Sean Sears is in there chuckling behind the glass. I don't know. I do want to believe he's capable of being the best player on the Cubs.
I will tell you this. There's a different body that you'll see out there performing every day. This is a bigger, stronger athlete than has been out there in the past.
Is that good, Bruce?
I think it's good in this case.
You just said the athletes how athletic you are doesn't matter.
I think in this case it's good because he is hitting the ball hard where it's being pitched, okay? He is not feeling for the ball, trying to get a single to right field. He's hitting the ball with authority since last August, as well as just about anybody in the National League.
What changed in August? Just because he was benched?
No, I think he's more comfortable against major league pitching now. I think he's more comfortable with himself. I think he has a confidence about himself that's different. I think he's a different player.
I hope you're right, because I really want to see that progression, and I really think he's capable of that.
I had as many questions about him as you did, and he still has to go out there and prove it over a whole year.
I'm trusting Craig Counsell. You talk about the manager's role in all this. I'm trusting him that he sees something and knows it has the metrics, and because him batting second, Suzuki at second with this lineup, I am in the wait-and-see mode. I'm not sure that's the brightest decision.
Double homer. That's what they're hoping for, double homer. You know, 65 extra base hits would be nice, you know?
That would be nice, but is it realistic? And do you have other options there that could
Man, that's why we watch them all.
That's why we watch them all, and that's why we break them down. And, yeah, 6-3-0, we might be overreacting a tad to one game, but Yeah. You're in Chicago. Welcome to town. This is what we do here. All right. We'll continue to talk Cubs when we come back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 6.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
70 the score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Quickly, Jan shows you, like, his experience slows the game down so much for our pitchers. And that's, you know, that's really important, and he's really good at it. He's the savvy veteran. That's what he is. And keeps figuring out ways to, use his experience and talent to make himself a successful player.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Craig Counsell talking about his catcher, Yan Gomes, who started opening day and then made way for Miguel Amaya in the later innings, I think the 10th. And big part of the Cubs' reason for success this season, hoping to connect with Yan soon. Bruce, an oddity on the probable pitchers today across Major League Baseball. There's a lot of ex-Chicago guys taking the mound. Marcus Stroman for the Mets. I'm sorry, the Yankees, not the Mets. Marcus Stroman for the Yankees. Dylan Cease for the Padres. Lance Lynn for the Cardinals.
Chris Sale Monday against the White Sox.
Chris Sale Monday at Guaranteed Rate Field in an Atlanta Brave uniform is going to be fascinating.
So odd.
And the Braves are using two ex-Sox pitchers as part of the rotation, and they're World Series
and one in the bullpen
pick for a lot of guys, and one in the bullpen in Aaron Bummer.
Right.
So the White Sox are helping develop a World Series contender in Atlanta. But of the three pitchers, the ex Chicago contingent today, Cease, Stroman, and Lynn, I think you're going to miss Cease the most.
I'm going to be watching him the most. You know, I expect him to have a big season. Again, I don't know anything more than anyone else other than the stuff is electric. He was in the strike zone way too much last year, walked too many people. He does walk a lot of people, but, you know, so did Snell, who led baseball in walks and won a Cy Young Award. So that's not the worst thing in the world. He's hard to hit, real hard to hit. So that's what I predicate my pick for him winning the National League Cy Young this year.
He could have a big year. I don't know if he's going to be Cy Young worthy, but he could have a big year. That's the best division in baseball, I think. And so it's not going to be easy. The Dodgers already, you know, they're 3, 4, 5 hitters historically good. Yep. Betts, Ohtani, Freeman. I don't know that you have to go back a long way in baseball to find a middle of the order that dangerous and that.
Well, the rest of the lineup is, Atlanta probably has the best lineup in baseball, 1 through 9, but Los Angeles is dangerous all the way through. Their catcher's, nobody talks about him. He's terrific.
Just extended him.
Yeah.
He got a new contract.
Muncy, all he does is hit home runs and drive in important runs, get extra base hits. You know, you have a lot of outstanding players on that team. That's, you know, they can win 100 and people will say it's a disappointing year.
Speaking of good catchers who mean a lot to their teams, let's go out to the Circus Sports Illinois hotline where Yan Gomes joins us. Download the Circus Sports app today. Good morning, Yan. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Thank you guys for having me.
Really appreciate your time coming off an off day after a season opening loss to the Rangers. Boy, that was an exciting game. You guys did everything right until the end. Every game is going to – it felt like September already, Jan. That had to be stressful to endure. What was your takeaway from the first game?
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely loud, I'll tell you that. It was definitely a good game overall. We kept the pressure on them just like they did to us. And it's one of those games that's going to come down to the wire. It's going to come down to those extra inning rulings and runs and everything. So it came down to one run, one little thing that could have went our way. But as much as there was a lot of positives to take, we got Steely going down is going to be one for, hopefully we get some good news, not as bad as news as it looked like.
Can you explain? I try to explain the idea about hamstrings, and especially for baseball athletes, and how tentative those are. I don't know if you've had a hamstring issue in the past, but why is it so difficult to come back from and being 100% before you go back on the field?
I just know when I have a tight hamstring, it's kind of hard to do a lot of different things. But I can't really speak on a full injury from a hamstring. I know one of the things when injuries do come about is gaining trust on it again. And for a pitcher, they use their legs to push, their legs to land. Knowing Steely's work ethic and how much work he puts in, I think he'll be all right. He'll come back stronger than ever. However long this is going to be, I'm sure he's going to take his time to even perfect his craft at other things.
Yeah, and as a leader on this team, when you start the season and you lose your ace on day one in the fifth inning, mm-hmm. and you start the season with Jameson Taillon, another big contributor to that starting rotation, and he's going to be out until maybe the end of the month, How would you advise us on the outside looking in to view all of this, to avoid being negative or expecting bad things to happen? Because this isn't the ideal start to a season that has high hopes, and it's going to test your pitching depth immediately.
Yeah. As overall, from everyone looking in as your MLB team, I think it's definitely not the way you want to – you want to kick things off, but we put so much stock in that first couple, week or so of the year. But at the same time, it's a really long season. These guys are putting in a lot of work to get back to get back on the field. But now looking from a Cubs fan perspective, this is a great deal to look at our pitching depth, and we do have it. We got a ton of tremendous guys that are ready to step up. Whoever that's going to be, and I think we'll be in good hands when whoever it is that comes up. We got some really good guys coming and waiting behind.
Jan, what do you know 6 weeks down the line from having Craig Counsell as your manager about him and about what he expects and how he runs a ball game?
Yeah, I think he's a. Obviously, the communication is definitely a little bit different. From going in through spring, we got to know him really well and just seeing what ticks and how those kind of communications are in the dugout. But he comes with a lot of knowledge, a lot of different things that we did in spring training are preparing us to go through a full season together. Now, one of the biggest things is connection and communication, and that's been really important for us through spring training. And I know as the season goes on, it's going to be very important for us to, one, stay connected through, obviously little humps like this right now, and two, communicating so not everyone is doesn't know what their role is and what they're expected.
When you say different, do you mean direct? Is Craig Counsell more direct, and does that take some getting used to for a veteran like yourself?
To be honest with you, I actually prefer that. I respected David Ross tremendously, and this is really has nothing to do with him. This is more of I really just be very direct, tell me exactly what you expect out of me, and you know, I'll give it my best. And it, I mean, yeah, I actually, you know, I prefer it that way.
I know that personally. When I ask a question you think stupid, you always let me know right away. So
exactly.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, you would want it. You would want some feedback right away, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's good for a media person to get embarrassed by somebody in your stature too. I mean, it's you need to think out these questions even 40 years down the line. You have to think out before you ask them. So I appreciate that.
Well, if I'm being too harsh, I apologize.
Not at all. I mean, I think direct is not only the best way, but it's always the best answer. Okay, and mm-hmm. you get the best answers out of people. We found out when you ask something that is a little bit off kilter and not really sometimes direct, you get either corrected or you get a great answer. So I appreciate that in you.
I know I've given you a couple eye rolls before, Bruce. So.
Yeah, and I appreciate, and you're still coming on the show, so that's always good news. Jan,
it's all part of it, man.
Jan, this is a difficult question to answer for you personally, but I'm going to ask it because I think it's relevant. Wilson Contreras is an all-star. He had a great arm. He's a great hitter. He's a great energy guy. Nobody dislikes him. But you coming in here as the number one catcher last year change the dynamic of the pitching staff. It's easy to see, okay? But it seems like defining what a catcher is for baseball fans is the hardest thing to sell. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is, if you agree with that theory?
I wouldn't disagree with any of it, to be honest with you. Wilson Contreras, as we all know, he's a top catcher in the game, and there's no doubt about it. For me and myself, the way I come in, it's, you know, I learned this a long time ago. I learned this from Tito and some of the coaches that I have behind me. It's truly my job is to get pitchers through a game. You know, you kind of come with a cliche that pitching and defense win ball games, and you know, I like to lack in the hitting department, but I took that very seriously. And it's my job is to control 13 guys to get through a game and make sure that they trust me in every aspect of their game. And not that I'm in any way trying to create this new kind of culture here, but it's one of the things that I know I take a lot of pride in. And if anything, I want that to be communicated to, you know, to a guy like Amaya. You know, there's times that we want to be really upset because something didn't happen well for us during the game. But as a catcher, we don't get to do that. As a catcher, we have to guide pitchers through a game and make sure that even though we're having a tough time at the plate or something's going on, they can still trust us to get them through a game. And I feel like that's an extremely important trait to have. And yep, there's going to come times that, you know, we kind of want to just go in and let out some, you know, some steam. But as long as it's coming from a good place and guys can understand that it's for the betterment of the team, then I think we're going to be all right.
Final moment with Jan Gomes, the Cubs catcher. So, Jan, as we consider replacements or where the Cubs will go now if Justin Steele is out for 4 weeks or whatever it is, we're going to hear the name Ben Brown. We're going to hear the possibility mm-hmm. of Hayden Wesneski rejoining the Cubs. We've seen a little bit of Wesneski, less of Ben Brown. But just quickly, briefly, could you summarize what each young pitcher might bring to the Cubs if they turn to either guy?
Yeah. Well, obviously, like you said, I'm sure you can ask plenty of other people. They do know a lot about Ben Brown. But if we go to Wesneski, right now is just it's a time for him to like really hone in on his skills and what he does best. Wesneski is a guy that has 4 to 5 really true plus pitches. And I believe in, you know, even though it was a demotion or in any way to go down to AAA, I think for him is just to be able to hone down on 2 to 3 pitches that he can excel at and come up and just be ready to pitch. Ben Brown, I got to catch one time this spring, and yeah, he impressed a lot of guys. He had he came in and did his job and had a tremendous spring. He's definitely a high ceiling guy for us. you know, he's got a plus fastball, plus breaking ball, and we're excited. We're excited, like I said. We definitely have the pitching depth and the guys that, that could come in and fill in for guys that are that do come go down or you know, the unfortunate things that can happen. That was one of the conversations. It's always like a fun problem to have when our pitching depth, we can say that we have like 8 to 9 starters that, that we can go to and be pretty comfortable with.
So the first day of spring training, I said, wow, you lost a lot of weight, but you look strong. How do you lose 17 and a half pounds and still be stronger than you were in the past? Because that seems to be the way that you came into camp.
Bruce wants your diet.
I need his body first, and then I'll take the diet.
No, it's been one of those things for me that I always try to take really good care of my body and anywhere that I can. But yeah, you got we got 3 kids around that just crush our food, so we kind of get left with the just some of the other stuff, other scraps to come up. So a lot of proteins that can just fill me up. But no, it was one of my main goals to just come in a little bit lighter and just to. Because I know throughout the season, with catching, getting a little heavier now.
What you said to me was, "Oh, you look like you were saying I looked like a fat blank in the past."
No. Oh, I said. I thought you said I called you a fat blank.
No. You said. Oh, then you're telling me I was a fat blank in the past.
Yeah, that's my, you know, not so funny sense of humor. yeah. No, it was really just a focus of mine and just. Just trying to be lighter in any way that I can. I don't think it's, if anything, it's portion control. I don't think there's anything really that much different that I'm doing. Focusing a lot on recovery. There's definitely different things that we have around here that does burn some calories on a recovery type of thing. So just trying to stay focused with that. And, yeah, like I said earlier on too, man, like we take so much focus into that first week and stuff of the year, but I'm focusing on what July and August and that crunch time in the year is going to look like. So I'm preparing myself for that far in advance too, that not only am I feeling good right now, I'm trying to feel good midway and towards the end of the year as well.
Jan, always a pleasure. Best of luck moving forward and really appreciate your time.
And tell him not to pinch hit for you again, okay?
Yeah, let's not let that. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say anything.
I know.
I just get told what to do and, you know, all the moves are going to be great.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jan.
Thanks.
Jan
right,
Gomes.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, Jan Gomes, Cubs starting catcher. What's pinch hit for in the 10th inning? Didn't like that move necessarily. Garrett Cooper instead of Mike Tauchman. But why pinch hit at all? I guess.
It's your question for opening day.
Okay. Can't wait for that one. That's 2 games from now. There'd be a lot of other questions that might be more pressing. But that was fun. He's always a good communicator, and we appreciate his time. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
And there's a drive from Mookie Betts. Out to the left. Donovan's back at the wall. Mookie's done it again. His 3rd home run already this year. A leadoff shot against Zach Thompson, and it's 1-0 Dodgers.
Man, I'm just at a loss of words with this guy, the way he's covering pitches right now. I mean, for a guy of his size, he's got 4-hole power. And every time a pitcher makes a mistake thus far, he's making him pay.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. Wrapping things up, David Haw, Bruce Levine. Thank you, Apple TV, for that highlight. Mookie Betts, best shortstop in baseball, Bruce. He's a shortstop.
First of all, I hate that Apple TV stuff every Friday, okay, where I have to chase where my teams that I'm watching are and if they're on there and if I have a subscription or not. You know, it's just like, no, please don't do this. Don't make me go to 5 different places and buy
really
streaming everywhere. I know streaming is there. It's good. It's important. You know, great. But please don't do that. Thank you.
But Mookie Betts, it's not a tree that fell in the middle of a forest. It's noise. It's loud. And Mookie Betts homered for the 3rd time. He's got as many home runs as the White Sox have hits.
And that's why I picked Freeman. You know, Betts would have been a good pick to be the MVP because there's nobody. It's just like you're going back to 1927 or you're going back to the the great lineups in baseball history. You can't pitch around anybody with the Dodgers, you know?
You cannot.
You can't pitch around anybody with the Braves.
I mean,
you know, that those
you look
are
at Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman. That's tailor-made for a same-game parlay for any interpreter that might want to make a bet.
Yeah.
Home run, home run, home run. How many hits between them? Bruce, the MVP candidate that made, to me, the biggest play or the most memorable play on opening day, Juan Soto. That throw in the ninth inning to cut down the tying
which
run.
Which is so uncharacteristic.
Of Juan Soto?
Yeah, he's not considered a great defensive player.
But he can do that. It was a great play.
Well, guess what? He's a free agent after this year.
So is Corbin Burns. You already got them negotiating with the Cubs.
Yeah, why not?
I love it. I love it. If you're not going to go after Jordan Montgomery, $25 million, that's too rich
for
the season.
No, you're too early.
You're too early.
This is John Lester next year.
Okay. I'm all for that. I think it's great. So you got the Sox today with Soroka making his debut for the White Sox. You got the Cubs later right here on the Score, 5:30 pregame. Kyle Hendricks down in Texas. Then, Bruce, of course, opening day Monday. It's going to be an event at Wrigley Field. Looking forward to that. And you should, too. Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi, they're headed to Circa. Oh, that's the Circa Resort. Thursday, April 11th and April 12th. But opening day, join the Score at BetMGM at Sluggers in Wrigleyville before the home opener, Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi. Broadcasting live to 10 to 12:45, followed by Zach's pregame until the first pitch.
And don't forget, if you baseball fans, the Score is where you want to be all year, okay? Why do I say that? Well, during the week, we have great contributors, great content. But also on the weekend, not only us, but, you know, Steve Rosenblum talks a lot of baseball after us. And then on Sunday, it's Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel every Sunday from 9 to 12. So this is your place to be during the baseball season.
Yes, and let me get that straight. Circa Resort Casino in Vegas hosting Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi April 11th and April 12th. So they'll be out of town for a couple days. And that is something to look forward to. Bruce, this was a fun show. We had some great guests. Garrett Crochet, the ace. Yan Gomes, the catcher for the Cubs. Thank you for setting those up. And thank you for showing up and having a good conversation.
David, always a pleasure. Sean Sears, terrific job as our producer. We thank the Chicago White Sox and, of course, Garrett Crochet, as well as the Chicago Cubs and Yan Gomes joining us. People can follow me on Twitter, David at MLB, Bruce Levine on our website, writing Cubs and Sox on our website almost every day at 670thescore.com. Look for you out at the ballpark, man. That just sounds great to me, just saying it and hearing it.
I will see you Monday at Wrigley Field. I'll be back here at 5:30 for Mullinghaw on Monday morning. Thank you for listening. Steve Rosenblum is next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
And there's a drive for Mookie Betts. Out to the left. Donovan's back at the wall. Mookie's done it again. His third home run already this year. A leadoff shot against Zach Thompson, and it's 1-0 Dodgers.
I mean, wait, I gotta be honest, man. I've just had a loss of words with this guy, the way he's covering pitches right now. I mean, for a guy of his size, he's got four-hole power, and every time a pitcher makes a mistake thus far, he's making them pay.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. Wrapping things up, David Haw, Bruce Levine. Thank you, Apple TV, for that highlight. Mookie Betts, best shortstop in baseball, Bruce. He's a shortstop.
First of all, I hate that Apple TV stuff every Friday, okay, where I have to chase where my teams that I'm watching are and if they're on there and if I have a subscription or not. You know, it's just like, no, no, please don't do this. Don't make me go to five different places and buy
really
streaming
not that hard.
Everywhere. I know streaming is there. It's good. It's important. You know, great. But please don't do that. Thank you.
But Mookie Betts, it's not a tree that fell in the middle of a forest. It's noise. It's loud. And Mookie Betts homered for the third time. He's got as many home runs as the White Sox have hits.
And that's why I picked Freeman. You know, Betts would have been a good pick to be the MVP because there's nobody. It's just like you're going back to 1927 or you're going back to the great lineups in baseball history. You can't pitch around anybody with the Dodgers, you know.
You cannot.
You can't pitch around anybody with the Braves.
I mean,
you know, that those
you look
are
at Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman. That's tailor-made for a same-game parlay for any interpreter that might want to make a bet.
Yeah.
Home run, home run, home run. How many hits between them? Bruce, the MVP candidate that made, to me, the biggest play or the most memorable play on opening day, Juan Soto. That throw in the ninth inning to cut down the tying
which
run.
Which is so uncharacteristic.
Of Juan Soto?
Yeah, he's not considered a great defensive player.
But he can do that.
It was a great play. Well, guess what? He's a free agent after this year.
So is Corbin Burns. You already got them negotiating with the Cubs.
Yeah, why not?
I love it. I love it. If you're not going to go after Jordan Montgomery, $25 million, that's too rich for the season.
No, year too early. This is John Lester next year.
Okay. I'm all for that. I think it's great. So you got the Sox today with Soroka making his debut for the White Sox. You got the Cubs later right here on the score, 5:30 pregame. Kyle Hendricks down in Texas. Then, Bruce, of course, opening day Monday. It's going to be an event at Wrigley Field. Looking forward to that. And you should, too. Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi, they're headed to Circa. Oh, that's the Circa Resort. Thursday, April 11th and April 12th. But opening day, join the score at BetMGM at Sluggers in Wrigleyville before the home opener, Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi. Broadcasting live to 10 to 12:45, followed by Zach's pregame until the first pitch.
And don't forget, if you baseball fans, the score is where you want to be all year, okay? Why do I say that? Well, during the week, we have great contributors, great content. But also on the weekend, not only us, but, you know, Steve Rosenblum talks a lot of baseball after us. And then on Sunday, it's hit and run with Matt Spiegel every Sunday from 9 to 12. So this is your place to be during the baseball season.
Yes, and let me get that straight. Circa Resort Casino in Vegas hosting Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi April 11th and April 12th. So they'll be out of town for a couple of days. And that is something to look forward to. Bruce, this was a fun show. We had some great guests. Garrett Crochet, the ace. Yan Gomes, the catcher for the Cubs. Thank you for setting those up. And thank you for showing up and having a good conversation.
David, always a pleasure. Sean Sears, terrific job as our producer. We thank the Chicago White Sox and, of course, Garrett Crochet, as well as the Chicago Cubs and Yan Gomes joining us. People can follow me on Twitter, David at MLB, Bruce Levine on our website, writing Cubs and Sox on our website almost every day at 670thescore.com. Look for you out at the ballpark. Man, that just sounds great to me, just saying it and hearing it.
I will see you Monday at Wrigley Field. I'll be back here at 5:30 for Mullin Haw on Monday morning. Thank you for listening. Steve Rosenblum is next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.